He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, Derek, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Cody. Thanks for having me back.
So, right off the top, thank you so much. You said yes to the very first episode. If you guys haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it. Episode one, I think that was back in the beginning of August. And we're coming out with episode 14 or 15 this week with Mike Rogowski on Sunday. So it's been a long time. So what have you been up to?
Oh man, it's been an interesting couple months. It was like shortly after the podcast. I don't remember. I think it was August, early mid August. My bending took a dive. I was just struggling. Mental health wasn't great. I actually made a bending tip for you. I have to share to you, and you can post it. Talked about that a little bit, but mental health wasn't great, so my bending kind of took a dive too. And late in the last few weeks, I've gotten back on the horse and. It wasn't ever weak per se, but it was a lot weaker than I wanted it to be, which didn't feel great. And the last few weeks have been great and trending back towards 12.9 and a couple other big feats that I have on the horizon. So it's been good. Nice to feel that strength back again.
Yeah, it's crazy how much your mind has to do with this. Like, it's not exactly the same type of thing, but I think it relates to just how much the mind plays into bending is I had a 5/8 by 27 inch bar that was stuck, like partially bent for about a month and a half, I think. And just the other day I tried it and stalled out again, didn't even move. I cut one to 28 and did that one no problem. And then went back and completed the 27. So it was just the confidence. I just needed that 1 inch, you know, it was like, that wasn't an issue of strength. That was completely mental, you know, and it was just like the confidence built from completing the 28 inch one, which I'm sure, you know, like the difficulty level was minimal. It just like gave me that little mental edge and I went back and completed it. It's crazy what the mind can do with this stuff.
Yeah, especially with bending, it's a huge portion mental. You have to be in the right headspace. And I just wasn't for about like a month ish after I had a couple big failures and, yeah, so it took me a bit, but the last few weeks have been trending in the right direction, and I'm really happy with where I'm at. The last workout was fantastic, as I'm sure a lot of people have seen on Instagram. it's been good. I'm looking forward to the next couple. I have some big goals in mind for the next few weeks. How they go?
Awesome. I want to talk about those, but first, what's the biggest thing you've bent so far? I can't even keep up because all this fat bastard stuff just is funny names.
Well, so in terms of like biggest diameter, it would be the huge SAR that I started on, the huge SAR of all bastards.
And what's the dimensions on that?
It's 25/64, which is a 64th of an inch bigger than the king of all bastards. So it's just over 3/8 by 6 inches. I've been close on the grand of that, which is 5.5. Haven't quite finished it yet, but I think it's right around the corner. That's the biggest one I've done so far in terms of dimensions. In terms of hardest, probably not that, but anyway.
And the grand is what, just a little shorter?
Yeah, so in FPBC stock lingo, the normal is 7 inches, big is 6.5, huge is 6, grand is 5.5, magnificent is 5, insane is 4.5, fantastic is 4. And then now there's the tall and the odd, which I think tall is 8 and odd is 7.5. For those like flexibility type bends, but yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And we got the czar, the big czar, the king of all bastards, which you said these new ones are harder or easier than ones
before? the new batch is definitely harder. So these czars that I bent the last weekend were the new batch. I couldn't tell how much harder they were, so I didn't bend one of the old batch back to back or anything, but the new king of all bastards, to the best of my knowledge, no one's even moved. Maybe someone's wobbled it a little bit. I don't really know. But I was having trouble when I was feeling a little off. I was kept in it stuck at like 90 degrees or so. And this one just melted. If you saw the video, it was done in about a minute. So it felt really strong. And yeah, there was a King of All Bastards that I got from Aaron on there too, and that thing was and hard. That was the hardest cold rolled I've ever felt. It felt like drill rod, because like most cold rolled for me, once I kink it, and especially once you pass the sweep, the thing is dead. The crush on cold rolled isn't generally hard. This one I got to 2 3/4 in about minutes, and then fought with it for 10 more minutes, just trying to, and finally got the thing down to 2 inches. So it was brutally hard. And that was the one of the bends. And then I did one of the newer batches. And then I did some of the SAR stuff. So, and the SARs that I did today felt harder than the hard King of All Bastards batch by a little bit, or today, but last weekend. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Nice. And so are you submitting all these to Fat Bastard? Because he's like way behind on updating the site, or is it just you just do it in certain conditions and that's good enough for you?
He's way behind on updating the site. I sent him an email. I sent him to him like a while back. And I sent him in a giant chunk, so I didn't expect him to be done quickly. I sent him like 30 videos at once, I think, because I procrastinated until that point.
Yeah.
And yeah, he said he was a little bit behind, so he just hasn't gotten around to them. The newer ones, obviously, are just research, like re-bending with harder stock. That's why a lot of them aren't wrapped on video, because I'm just, you know, seeing how the harder stock feels.
Gotcha.
But all the like older videos, they're all just in his email inbox, and he's working through them.
Yeah, he probably got swarmed in the since COVID. Everybody just home bending stuff.
Oh, I imagine he's gotten a lot of cert videos since then that he's still working on, besides my, you know, couple dozen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving him leeway. I'm not at all in a rush to get it on the site, but
nice. Yeah. So somewhere in there, you bent a gold nail. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I keep meaning to go back and try that with pads, but my hands are just like not that super tolerant of thin pads, at least right now. And I'm mostly focused on killing biggest steel. So I bent one in double leathers. And I have one that I bent like 20 degrees in single leathers. And I keep meaning to go back and try it with single leathers or BBWs, which were the Bender's Battlefield wraps.
Yeah.
I'm still a little ways away from cert conditions, just because, again, I'm not one to talk and bend in small wraps, as Adam said. Yeah, so I bent one. They're not too hard. I just haven't gotten the pain tolerance or worked on building the pain tolerance up enough to cert on them yet.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple Harito certs in there. What do you have to say about those?
Oh, man, I love Harito sites. Awesome. I'm hoping to do the 12.9 this weekend. That's the goal, the big goal.
Because
that's one that Alex has done that I haven't done, and I'm a little salty about that. It's been great. The 6-inch 10.9 felt awesome. That was a really strong bend. Feels about the same as a G8. And did a A2 bolt double underhand, which was a fun one. He sent me a couple of those, and those are fun bolts. I want to cut one down. This today I did double underhand in reverse, but I wasn't feeling super strong, so I didn't do any like big PRs per se.
Nice. Yeah, your double underhand is crazy strong. I like seeing you mix it up. I love the double overhand, but a couple others thrown in there. Some brace stuff is cool too.
Yeah, I have brace stuff in the garage, and I keep meaning to go back to that too, but I just haven't gotten back around to it.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of braced, like, it was right shortly before I met my wife. So it was like 2 years ago. I think I'd gotten down to relatively short 3/4, like 3/4 by 38 or 37 was my best.
Nice.
And I was down to like 5/8 by 22, I think, was my best. But I just haven't circled back to it since I got back into double overhand. So that's been a big priority, pushing the limits there.
But
eventually I want to go back to the brace because it's fun. I just have such a hard time balancing everything.
Yeah.
And especially when I'm trying to do double overhand once a week, and I don't have the intolerance to do anything by the time I do 4 or 5 double overhand bends. So eventually I'll get back into braced and doing more double under and reverse, but trying to figure out my workout plan right now.
Yeah. You mentioned the guy, Alex. Was he a dude from Russia that certed on the 12.9?
Yep.
So is he like your only competitor right now as far as like big stuff, or would you even consider him a competitor?
Oh, he's definitely a competitor. I mean, he's done a couple of things that I haven't. I think I've done more that he hasn't than the opposite way, but he's very, very strong. And I'd say, to be honest, he's my only competitor in terms of double overhand bending, at least. Like, there's a few others that are probably closer to the gold nail cert than I am, just because they focus more on those smaller wrap stuff. But I don't think they could touch me in double pads. I think there's, I don't even remember all the names, but there's like four or five that are closer than I am for sure on the gold. I think they could even come close to me on double pad stuff. So yeah, the short answer is me and Alex are in a realm of our own at this point, I'd say.
Nice. And I mean, this kind of brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about. There was a post today on Steel Shredder about Gaza. I'm too new of a bender to really know the backstory of this this person, but I hear the name brought up, and you've mentioned in some of your Ben videos referencing some stuff he's done or supposedly done. So are you chasing Gaza? What is the deal with Gaza?
Yeah, I mean, Gaza's he's an enigma. I mean, he bent some stuff. He had some videos back in the day that were amazing. And he even did have a couple of videos where he opened stuff on video. And people still doubted him just because he was so far above and beyond what everyone else was doing. And then later on, and I think this was after I left the grip community, he started posting about some bends he did without any photo proof, video proof, anything proof, and stuff that people just couldn't believe. And for me, it's hard to say if he just had gotten so sick of everyone doubting him that he just said, "Fuck it, I'm out," and just stopped posting videos, or if he was full of shit. And I don't know, and no one does. That's the sad thing. And a lot of his videos he took down because I don't know if it was frustration. I was never super close to Gaza. Aaron was a lot closer to him than I was. So I'm going to ask him and see if he knows more. But yeah, he did a huge King of All Shiny Bastards, which is 6-inch by 3/8 cold rolled. And that one was videoed. And I don't remember if he opened that one on camera or not. But it was silly strong, and he did like a fantastic shiny, which is 5/16 by 4 stainless. And the thing that some people doubt about him is a lot of his work was done, or almost all of his work was done in stainless and silver bolts, so G5s essentially. And people doubt, you know, hey, was he preheating metal? Was he annealing it? Was he doing X, Y, and Z? And honestly, I don't know. And some of the stuff he claimed later was pretty damn crazy, but he was also in a realm of his own. So maybe he just had progressing and no one really knew because he kept it quiet. But he, I think one of his claims that people laugh at was a 3/8 by 5 grade 5, which is a fucking silly bend. Like, I don't know what the 3/8 by 7 grade 5's cow at. That's been nicknamed the Gaza bolt because he's the only one who's even claimed to have done it. My guess is that probably calibrates somewhere near 800, 900 pounds in a Kraling system. Which is the traditional calibration system. And for reference, a bastard is about 400. So we're talking about almost double the strength of a bastard. I think that one's achievable, honestly. That's on my long-term goal list, a 3/8 by 7 G5. So personally, a lot of the bends that Gaza has claimed to have done are on my long-term, meaning like, you know, 3 to 5 year goal list. You know, so I think maybe his stuff was real. I aim to prove that maybe it was and do some of the stuff that my goal is to do stuff that Gaza never even claimed to do. Because I think we don't know what the human body's capable of. This whole thing about, oh, there's an upper limit to what we're capable of and, you know, whatever, X, Y, and Z, that's honestly horse shit to me. I mean, I had a workout that I cut an inch off the SAR in one workout. No one's ever even done a big SAR before, and I did huge. And I'm so damn close to a grand. So to say that some of the stuff he did is impossible, I don't know. I mean, the railroad spike, which I think was what was posted on Steel Shredder, again, he claimed to have done it braced. I'd be curious to see what Don could do to one of those braced, because he's the only person that would be in the same realm as Gaza in that capacity. I don't know if he's tried one, like one of the smaller railroad spikes. That's maybe like a 1/2 by 1/2 square.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure Don could move that. So maybe that one's horseshit. He just heated it and bent it in a vise and just said he bent it.
Yeah, I guess one of the little hiccups with that was a little bit of the head that was protruding was bent in the opposite way that you would actually bend it, because that would be digging into your hand in the research I was doing before this. Unless, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the spike, honestly. And some of this was after I left the bending community, but between when I left and when I came back. So my knowledge of some of his more outlandish claims is limited. Besides what I've read on Gripboard and talked to a couple friends on, I definitely think some of his older crazy claims, like the huge King of All Shinies, I think that's definitely within the realm of possibility.
What's the dimension on that one again?
3/8 by 6 stainless.
Okay, that might be on YouTube, because I looked right before we got on here, and the only video I could find of him on YouTube currently was 3/8 stainless something. I'm not sure how long it was.
I think that was an unofficial Chain of All Shiny. It was a Chain of All Shiny replica, if I remember right. It was 3/8 by 7, but it wasn't FABC steel.
Okay.
And yeah, he did. That one is on YouTube. The 3/8 by 6, I think, is long gone. But as I mentioned, I think on the last podcast, I have a friend who completed a Chain of All Shinies well outside of the time limit. It was something that took him like multiple workouts to finish.
Oh, wow.
But he did do it, and I trust him. So
We did talk about that, actually.
Oh, maybe. I may have alluded to it. And he's that anyone knows that he did it besides me. So I'm not even going to name it. But he said he did it. I believe him that he did it. I think he even sent me a picture of it, but it was done over many, many workouts. So I think the huge Chain of All Shinies is definitely possible that Gaza did it. The cut down 3HG5s, who knows?
Crazy.
That was always, I mean, pushing the limits. There's a story I'll share real quick. I don't remember if I shared this with you or not, but this is an Aaron story that Gaza told him. Way back when, Gaza did a shiny in his mouth. So one end of the bar was in his teeth. The other end was like this. And he bent it, and it was like a 40 degree. I don't remember what the kink was, but he kinked it damn well, like would have like a cert kink. Not that there's a cert for this, because no one else would be fucking crazy enough to do that. And he ripped a tooth out of his mouth. And this is, again, hearsay, so I don't know for 100% certainty that this happened, but this, as the story goes, when he was waiting for his dentist appointment to get the tooth fixed or a crown put in or whatever, he would poke the exposed nerve with a fork, which is, I talked to Robert Negedly, I probably mispronounced his name, about this, and he was like, yeah, I accidentally did that once when he like accidentally broke a tooth and didn't realize, and he like passed out, he like blacked out from pain, Robert said. Like the fact that Gaza supposedly did this and just like sat there on the couch and did this shows you how much of a fucking lunatic this guy was. So to say that he like pushed himself far enough to bend a 3/8 by 5 G5, I kind of believe it, because he was just, he would do crazy ass shit to bend the biggest steel possible. I might be the only person that believes it, but I don't think it's impossible. And I aim to bend that same bolt and prove that it's humanly possible.
Damn. I want to do it. I want to become like a documentary filmmaker now and get to the bottom of all this.
He's like I said, he's an enigma. He's very much like the old time strongman, where everyone was like, oh sure, you did that, but did you really?
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll never know. And that's the crazy part. I wish he would have, you know, done one where he opened it on camera and all this other shit to prove that he did it, but
maybe I'll get him on here.
Track him down, please do. Like, that guy is fascinating.
Yeah,
he was like he worked in like the, I don't know, lane bricks or something. So he had a ton of natural strength and then continued bending. So
Who knows? That's interesting, man.
Yep.
All right. So I recently had a guest on the pod that spoke about some double pad bending, which you're elite at.
Hashtag elbow drive.
Yeah. So what do you have to say for double pads?
I mean, I've always liked double pads. I think I don't think that pain should be your governor when you're talking about bending, because, you know, I just knocked on wood. I think we were talking about this right before the episode. I've never had a big injury. My biggest injury is hand-based, you know, with holes in my hand. So if I do more single pad bending, this is just going to get worse. Double pad bending, it's, you know, relatively fine. I can deal with 4 or 5 bends before it starts tearing and bleeding all over my wraps. And I think the extra padding just helps you to, I mean, it is gaining more leverage, honestly, and it's gaining more comfort in the kink, and exerting more pressure through the steel. So, I mean, I'm of the opinion that if you want to bend the biggest steel, you need bigger wraps. There is a point, in my opinion, where there's diminishing returns. Like, I've experimented with the BBWs, which are the giant, big, thick Corduras that are like probably twice the size of IM pads with leathers on the outside, and they just seem too big for me. Some people do that, but you can't just keep doing the, you know, at some point it becomes like this gigantic cumbersome thing. In my opinion, the sweet spot's about an inch and a half. wrapped around a bar, so it's an half diameter for me. Uh-huh. Some people do a little bit bigger, but yeah, it's protecting your hands. It's helping you exert a little more force. And ultimately in the end, when you're finishing the bar, you have to take off the doubles and you have to, and I go down to, you know, crush pads and stuff. So it still requires a lot of strength and pain tolerance, obviously. I've said on my videos before, just talking shit to various people, like, if you think you can bend what I bend, I'll send you my wraps. I'll mail you my wraps. You mail them back to me, please. And see if you can bend the same stuff I do. There's nothing any special.
I think we talked about it on the first episode, but you cut your own wraps, right? You just get stuff from a tanner.
Yeah, it's just leather I bought from, why am I blanking on the name of it now? It's a leather chain, and I just bought a sheet and cut it up all there. There are a couple of various sizes, and just chalked the hell out of them. You know, there's probably pounds of chalk in those, or that at least have gone through them. So that helps with a little. Yeah, those things started brown. Like, I should show you a picture of the. I still have pairs of the ones that haven't been caked up yet, because you know I still am using most of my original ones. I'll post a picture and show you the difference. It's shocking. You would think those like gray suede. That's brown leather.
That's wild.
So yeah, short answer is I like double wraps. I still do bending in smaller wraps, and honestly it transfers. Like, Adam's biggest point was that if you get so strong at these double pads that you can't bend stuff in double underhand, reverse, single wraps, I think that's horseshit. In the nicest way possible. Like, I've done almost all of my bending in double pads and double overhand for the last 11 months since I got back into bending. I've done very few sessions in single wraps. And the other day I did this was a couple weeks ago. I did a 5.5-inch edge in bolt, which is 5/16 by 5.5, grade 5. It was a linear S variety, which looks kind of like those S's we used to draw in middle school, if you're my age. That's like one of the hardest varieties of edging. So it's way harder than the one that Aaron's the first one to have done in doubles, and did that in BBWs, which are in those long Corduras. So single wraps. And some would say those are just as hard, if not harder, than single leathers. And same with double underhand. I do until recently, I've done very little double underhand. I think I've done 5 sessions total in the last year. I did a big bastard double underhand. It's not like I'm working on that. That's just strength that's coming from me bending in double overhand. Same with reverse. You know, reverse, I did a 5-inch grade 5 this morning, and I've done decent sized quarter square in reverse. I haven't done a bastard yet, but I haven't really tried that hard. And all that strength that's coming from double overhand bending.
Yeah. When you say you came back to bending, you were doing all kind of, like, I've looked at your YouTube page a whole bunch, and you used to kind of mix it up quite a bit. So what made you decide to come back to bending and chase after double overhand as much as you have been?
Honestly, I don't know. I just got back into bending. It was November-ish of last year. I had some stock that I still had from 2010 or whatever year that what the various stock I had was, and bought leather and decided to start bending and just got into double overhand. Never really looked back. My first workout, I did a bastard and a big bastard. And the next workout, I think I cut the bastard down to like grand, which is 5.5, and did some like shiny and stuff. And just felt natural. I felt like I was back at home. That was always the style that I loved the most, even though I used to do a lot more grip and braced and stuff like that. So it's just where I felt most strong, and I quickly progressed. And then I realized I was close to, I think one of the things that made me just focus solely on that was I immediately, or relatively quickly, within like a couple months, was right on Aaron's tail for the best bends he had ever done. Aaron Corcoran, and you know, he was the greatest back in the day, besides Gaza, if you want to consider Gaza's bends. Wow. So I think, yeah, just immediately being that strong, or relatively quickly being that strong, and realizing that if I kept going, I could bend some stuff that no one had ever bent, and here we are.
It's awesome. How about you touched on injuries, and I kind of have a theory about this, but have you suffered major injuries in other stuff, or you pretty much just been good as far as injury goes? Like, did you play football in high school, like, or anything like that, or skateboarding, this and that? I just feel like some people are more prone to injuries and some aren't.
The only injury I've really had, I've never had, knock on all the wood, I've never had a tear, never had much of broken bones. Besides, I think I told the story on the last podcast of my two broken pinky toes when I dropped a 2.5-inch deadlift at Backyard Bastard Bash. Yep. So those are the only broken bones I've had. I sprained both ankles doing some dumb shit when I was bouldering out in California. That was a funny story. But that's really the only bad injury I've had. I jumped off a boulder that was like, I was like 20 feet up and I missed my pad. Ooh. And yeah, sprained both ankles, had to have my friends carry me out of the park we were in, and went to Knott's Berry Farm the next day and got to go to the front of the line. So I was in a wheelchair. That was fun. But yeah, I've been lucky. Like I haven't had any severe injuries, but I'm of the belief that if you just weather your body and build up to it, as long as you're warming up well, which I make a huge point of doing. I've heard a couple other benders on this podcast say, oh, warm-ups aren't that important. No disrespect, Jaden, but hell yes, they are. I on my first warm-up, I'm struggling with the 60 penny, or at least it's a little hard. And then by the fourth or fifth bend, like after a couple warm-ups, I'm doing co-abs. So in my opinion, that's hugely important to minimize injuries.
What are you doing for the warm-up? You just bend it a couple 60 pennies? Or?
I used to just do 260s. It's grown bigger the harder the steel I've gotten has been. I started with just 260s. Then I started doing a bastard, and I'll usually make it the same length as what I want the hardest bend to be. So if I'm going to do like my first bend is a 5.5-inch length bend, I'll do a 5.5-inch bastard. And then the last couple of weeks I've been doing an edge in two just to get myself like fully up to bending something relatively hard, because an edge in is still, you know, 20-ish percent off of my best bending, maybe a little further. So that's a good last warm-up. Then I go into the heavy bends.
Nice.
And I'll do those in more minimal padding. I'll usually do them in either single leathers or the BBW wraps.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've mixed it up. Sometimes I come straight out of, like, doing a normal workout and I'm warmed up and sweating and everything, and then I go to bend and I feel strong. But then there's other times where I've done a minimal warm-up and I also feel strong. So I haven't really figured it. I think it's personal, but I definitely, just like anything, although actually I've heard plenty of people say warm-ups are no good for powerlifting, but.
I don't know who told you that, but I promised you Eddie Hall did not jump in and deadlift 500 kilos right away.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
And that's a common thing though, right? Isn't it?
I have not heard that at all. And there might be some people that say that, but I follow Eddie Hall and Brian Shaw and, you know, a bunch of the World's Strongest Men type people on YouTube, and all of them preach warm-ups, especially Eddie. He's a huge proponent of warming up everything before you get into lifting heavy. And coming from the guy who was the first person to lift half a metric ton, like, I'm going to take his advice. I don't think there's any powerlifters who jump straight into, you know, max effort lifts, because you're going to tear something. That's how injuries happen.
I was actually misspeaking in the sense of warming up. I wasn't talking about warm-up lifts. I was talking about static stretching and things like that.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's different for each person. I don't do a lot of static stretching. It's probably not a bad idea, but I tend to have a time frame that I need to finish my workout in before it gets brutally hot in Tucson. So I tend not to... And I can't wake up early enough to make that, you know, part of my morning routine, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I don't think static stretching is a bad thing. I think some people with powerlifting prefer to get blood in the muscle before static stretching, because if you static stretch a cold muscle, that can be more conducive to injuries. So what I mean is they'll do some lightweight movements where they'll, you know, squat body weight or something and then stretch the legs. Or squat with the bar a couple of times, then stretch their legs, that sort of thing. That's probably not a bad practice in bending too. Like, do some warm-up bends, then stretch out the hands a little bit. Or I'll use a liniment as a way to warm up my elbows and my hands and forearms before working out. I don't know. I don't have a honest answer for you on that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhat individually based. And while we're talking about lifting, what's the correlation between heavy pressing and heavy bending? Is there any
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think that's causation, not correlation, or correlation, not causation, excuse me. You know, Aaron was a very strong bender and bencher because before he bent, he was a world-class, well, I don't know if it's world-class, but like a national-level powerlifter and was a national-level thrower in for the University of Arizona. But he had a little bit of pre-existing strength there. If I remember right, he used to bench like well over 500 pounds. So yeah, of course his bench is still pretty good later on in life. Tommy might be similar. I don't really know Tommy well enough to speak on that. But as we were talking before the podcast, you know, Don, as far as I know, doesn't do any pressing. He talked about doing isometrics in his podcast episode, even though I think Adam referenced him as one of the people who does heavy pressing. I don't press. I mean, I do a little bit here and there. I actually did a pressing workout on Monday. Coming for you, Adam. But it was like super light. Just like, I think there's some correlation. And I think, to be honest, part of the reason I've come back so strong is because in the interim, I did heavy powerlifting and I got up to, you know, 1100 pound total, which isn't great, but it's better than I was doing when I was, 16, when I was, I was like 150 pounds back then. So I think a lot of the muscle buildup from that has transferred to some extent. But I think that can also be built up by just bending a lot or, you know, the guys who do grappling, I'm sure that develops a lot of strength in your shoulders and upper back. And for me, at least what I feel more sore in after a heavy bending session is upper back, especially close to the spine. So that's not bench. That's not press. I mean, you build those muscles for your bench, but that's not, if you bench heavy, you're not going to feel sore in your upper back generally. And I don't think those muscles are connected necessarily. And also the heavier you bench in general, the bigger your chest and shoulders get, which impedes flexibility. That was one of Aaron's biggest problems in terms of his heavy bending was he had such big biceps and shoulders that he had trouble getting the bar as high up as I do. He always said he was jealous of how I could kink stuff that was like 8 inches because he would struggle at 7 inches just getting the bar under his chin because his chest and shoulders and biceps have been so built up from powerlifting and throwing. So I'd say if anything, it could be the opposite. Like I think I mentioned in my last, one of my videos this last week, Julius Maddish couldn't touch me in bending. There's no way he could, partially because he would be way the hell down here trying to use all wrist drive. And I would never bench 700 pounds, much less 800. So well, he'll stay in his lane. I'll stay in mine. We'll both be happy. He'll never know I existed and that's fine.
So what about as we wrap up here, what are some of the things you're working for? Are you going 12-9 this weekend, hopefully?
12-9 is a big goal this weekend, partially because that's a cash bend. Thank you, Jan. See, what are a couple other big goals? I wanted to Duke of All Shinies, which is 11:32 by 7 stainless. As far, that's not even on the FPBC site. Aaron did something similar way back when. He's the only one that I know of that's done 11:32 by 7 stainless. King of All Hexes is on that list for sure. That's 3/8 by 7 hex deal. Partially because on the FBC site it says, can it be done? And I've already wobbled one. That was when I wasn't as strong and tanked as I am now. So I think that's within the realm of possibility in the next probably 6 months, maybe sooner. The goal list is long, but those are some of the bigger ones.
Nice. All right, man. Well, anything else you want to get into before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I have a bending tip that I have a video of. I'm sorry I've been procrastinating doing that to you, but I'll upload that right now. Perfect. About getting the kink done, because I think that's something that a lot of people say I have the strongest of.
Thanks.
I'm still listening to the podcast. Thanks for it. It's been awesome. I think it's blown up a lot more than we thought it would on the first episode. So that's great. I'm glad you're going to have a contest to do it. And if anyone has anything fun to try for a head-to-head versus me, I'm totally down. I don't know what that would be. Because like I said, kind of the only person in my realm for fat pad double overhand is Alex. But I would be down to do like a double under. Or one of the things I was thinking about was people seem to be posting this double 60 penny bend a lot lately. And so I was thinking that we could do like most double 60 pennies bent, and it would be me versus two people. See who could bend the most in like 5 minutes of those pairs. I think that could be fun. I haven't even done that bend, but I don't imagine it'd be too hard. Not to talk shit, but just saying. Yeah. Just haven't,
you haven't gotten around to doing multiple unit bends.
I don't do that. I didn't do that way back when. I'm debating trying it now just because it seems to be a popular thing. I kind of want to see if I can do like two quarter by six G8s, because I think that would be fucking awesome, and that's well above a 60 penny.
Yeah, I just just did a G8 and a 60 penny taped together braced, and that was a hell of a fight, so I can't even imagine double overhanding two of them, but if
yeah, I'm just,
sure you could do it.
I'm not sure if that'd be, I don't know how hard that would be, but if in theory it's a little less than double of what the bend itself is, 260 or 2 6 inch G8s I think would fall a little above, probably around the same realm as like a 6 inch big G8, to be honest. So I think it should be doable, but I need to go to Ace and get some of those smaller bolts, because honestly right now I don't have any quarter inch bolts in my collection. They're all 5/16 and 3/8.
I think
multiple bends will be fun. So if anyone has a challenge that they want to do, either two people against me or like something, you know, wraps touching against Adam, that'd be fun. So if someone's interested, let me know. I'm totally down. That's cool, an awesome idea. Thanks for continuing to help grow the bending community, buddy.
Yeah. I'm hoping a lot of these crazy British guys enjoy snapping red nails. So this is already developing into, I think we're going to have a bracket for that. Six-person bracket or something like that.
I need to try snapping at some point. I am not good at that.
And then I also got two recent Iron Mine red nail certifiers. Gonna go head to head on a cert conditioned red nail on the show. And that's just some more content that's gonna be dropping along with these, where I'm gonna be having guests back on for like a little catch up to see what people have been up to, because a lot of the guys like yourself are still very active, and you know, I want to make sure people are up to speed with the stuff you're doing. Not everybody's on Instagram, not everybody's following YouTube and everything. So, guys, so what's your Instagram, Derek?
It's derekgrayville.steelbending. The other thing I was going to throw out, and I mentioned this on the tips thing, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I've debated going into bending coaching. If anyone's interested, I'm totally down to do coaching. You know, I'll try to make the rate pretty reasonable, like, you know, one-on-one coaching or like just planning. I'm thinking about that. I'm just trying to figure out how to platform it. If anyone's interested, hit me up on Instagram, derekgrayville.steelbending. Oh, and I had a real quick story. Sorry to make this long, but I remember you always asked that question, like, what's the funniest reaction someone had to steelbending? And I thought of a much better answer after I answered it the first time. When I went to Tandy Leather, that's the name of it, just popped in my head, to cut my wraps, I did it in a little room where they have like lots of crafting materials and stuff, and they're like, and I'm cutting them into like even, you know, strips, and they're like, what are you making these for? And I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, bending steel. And I showed them a video, and they're like, that's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, is that the weirdest thing you've had someone come in here for, you know, putting leather? And they're like, well, not really, someone came in here to make a gimp suit. Don't know what that is, don't Google it. But that was the funniest reaction I had to someone talking about the steel bending, was someone going, well, at least you're not making a gimp suit. It's just being used for bending metal.
That's great.
With that's all I have for this episode, unless you have more.
Oh, man, that's it. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, Derek.
All right, happy bending, everybody. Bye.